Curtis, you watch Burns daily. And, you know, he's a guy who loves San Jose, of course. And Doug Wilson and their ownership group obviously committed to him long term. How do you think, if any, this impacts their strategy at the expansion draft and who they're going to have to leave unprotected?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a question going forward. I mean, I think that at least for now, you have the security, you have the knowledge that, you know, Burns is going to be under contract, and you're also able to protect maybe a couple other defensemen, Mark Edward Vlasic being one of them, maybe a guy like Justin Braun, too, although he's got some term left and some dollars left in his contract. So, but at the very least, you know, it gives the Sharks some knowledge and some, some security, knowing that Burns is under contract. He's not going to go anywhere. He's one of the faces of the franchise, if not the face of the franchise, alongside Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau. So I think they'll stick with trying to maybe protect three D men, and the skaters, the forwards involved as well. So it's tough to say what the strategy is going forward, but I think at the very least they know that they're going to have Burns here for a long time.
How do you think this affects, just even from a cap standpoint, this potential signing of Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau, both who are UFAs heading into next season?
Well, I think, you know, maybe Joe Thornton, it's tough to say what kind of contract he's going to command. I think he'd like to have term as well. Maybe he'll take a few less dollars if he can get his normal kind of three-year deal that he's always signed. Patrick Marleau, definitely going to have to take a little bit of a haircut in terms of his deal, if the Sharks want to re-sign him and he wants to come back here. He's making $6.5 million. That's going to have to come down a little bit if he wants to stay around in San Jose. Joe Thornton, you know, he's making close to $6.75 million, around that red number this year. That's going to have to come down a little bit because, you know, not only those two guys, but you've got guys like Jonas Donskoy, who's going to get a little bit of a raise. A guy like Mel Carlson, maybe they want to keep around for another couple of years. A guy like Martin Jones, he's going to be not the following season, but the two more years left on his deal. He's going to get a lot more money than the $3 million he's making right now. So definitely a little bit of a balancing act for Doug Wilson going forward, but I don't think he would have done this deal at that number if he wasn't confident that you could keep his core pieces together. And let's not forget about Mark Edward Vlasic. He's a UFA to be after next season. So he's gonna want some more money than what he's making right now. So a little bit of a high wire act for Doug Wilson in terms of keeping everything, keeping his core guys together at the right number. But, I think he's, you feel pretty confident today when we asked him about it, that they're in a good spot going forward.
Looking at the Sharks moving forward, you know, they wonder about guys like Thornton and Marleau. And, you know, we'd heard that last year Marleau maybe was close to being on the block, and that didn't happen. Him and Thornton are both UFAs, and I know you and Matt were talking about signing Thornton and maybe it'd be a short-term deal and such. But do you see any chance Marleau comes back, or is he for sure maybe not part of that equation that they'd want to, distribute dollars to younger guys? They're not going to re-sign both him and Thornton?
Well, it's tough to say. I wouldn't completely rule him out coming back. Right now with Tomas Hertl, injured for maybe the next few weeks out of action, he's actually up on the top line right now with Thornton and Joe Pavelski. So he's still a valuable member of the organization. And you look at what the Sharks have coming up in the pipeline, they have some good prospects, Timo Meier being kind of chief among them, but not a ton of like blue chip guys who you know that you're going to be able to plug in and at least, you know, replace some of the production that Marlowe's giving you right now. So it's tough to say. I wouldn't completely rule him out coming back, maybe on a 1 or 2 year deal. I know Patrick Marleau definitely wants to play beyond this year. He feels his career is far from over. So maybe he's in a spot where he wants to look elsewhere. Maybe the Sharks feel, they're not comfortable with maybe what Marlowe's going to be asking for in terms of dollar and term. But, at the same time, I think that if they can agree on a deal, if Patrick wants to come back and the Sharks want to come back, they'll definitely hammer something out.
Curtis Pichalka joins us discussing the San Jose Sharks. Curtis, once again, the Sharks, of course, right near the top. I noticed Anaheim, L.A., and the San Jose are all very close, and they're probably looking at the standings and saying, who's this team ahead of us? We've never seen them in the last decade, and suddenly it's the Edmonton Oilers. But, you know, the Oilers, as good as they've played, they're right just 2 points ahead of those teams, and Anaheim and San Jose both have a game in hand, so it's definitely going to be a good run for the Oilers to have to stay with those teams, and I'm not sure they're going to win. Well, I'm pretty sure they won't win the division, but they've definitely served notice that the Pacific is maybe no longer just an easy three-team race.
Right, yeah, exactly. I honestly think that it would be a situation where you'd even have a team like Arizona being a little bit better than they are right now, or Calgary being a little bit better than they are right now. I thought it would be a little bit tighter top to bottom, but, you know, definitely Edmonton has made a lot of noise coming in. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think they'll be right in the hunt, right until the end. But still, at least for this year anyway, it's going to be the three California teams kind of battling out for those top three spots and a wild card spot. And then a team like Edmonton's also going to be in the mix. And I don't see the power structure, you know, changing a whole lot this year, maybe going forward, you know, as the Sharks get a little bit older, as the Ducks, you know, find themselves in a situation where they maybe want to have to maybe trim some salary here and there, or even a team like the Kings, you know, they're going to be in a really tough spot cap wise coming up. So I don't see the power structure changing a whole lot this year, but maybe going forward, you're going to have a little bit more teams in the mix. But right now, I think it's the California teams and Edmonton kind of battling out for those top four spots for the rest of the year.
Well, Arizona's off to a tough start, and Calgary's special teams are horrendous right now.
Yeah.
And Vancouver is definitely a team, I think, in transition a little bit. So I'm going to say it's easy for the Oilers, but they definitely should be able to at least stay in the top four for sure. In the Pacific. Now, the San Jose Sharks, can you give us an update on Thomas Hertl?
Well, talking to Doug Wilson today, he said it's going to be weeks before he's able to return. Placed on a long-term injured reserve as of yesterday. He's not going to need surgery, which obviously is good news for the Sharks. But you still have to wonder a little bit about that knee. You know, it's the third time he's injured this knee in the last 3 years. How durable is he going to be going forward long term? And so he'll return healthy, I assume, probably sometime close to Christmas, and you know, be ready for the second half of the season. But, you know, every time, Hertl goes in for a check, is that check on Laterra that he had. It didn't really seem like much. It didn't really seem like a hard, heavy hit where you might expect maybe a guy to come away limping. But he certainly did, and it's maybe it's raised some eyebrows inside the Sharks, saying how could something like this happen? I thought it was totally healthy, but here we are again, where Tomas Hertl is going to be on the shelf for a few weeks, and the Sharks kind of have to compensate for his loss with some players playing maybe bigger minutes than they had before, and guys in some unfamiliar roles. So a little bit of a test for the Sharks to see if they can kind of weather the storm and, stay in the top three for the time being.
Has there been any pleasant surprises in San Jose? I know they don't have a ton of new players, so maybe it's hard, but even some of the veterans, anybody having a start to the season better than they were expected?
Well, I think one guy maybe that they like is David Schlemko. He's kind of flew into the radar when the Sharks signed him on July 1st. He's doesn't have a ton of points right now, but he's creating opportunities. He's on the second power play unit. He's fit in well on that third third defensive pair pretty nicely with Brendan Dillon. So I think they really like kind of what he's brought to the team. Conversely, I think a guy like Mikael Bakker, who was kind of their prize free agent signing in the summer, has gotten off to a really tough start, only a couple of goals so far in 19 games. And you can tell he's Bakker's pressing a little bit. He wants to be able to contribute more. He's getting some opportunities each game, maybe a handful of scoring opportunities every game, every few games or so. So I think they like Schlemko, but I think maybe a guy like Bakker, Pete DeBoer says he's liked kind of what he's seen from Bakker right now is that Felty's improved a little bit each game, but still, I mean, you sign a guy to four-year deal with about $16 million. You'd like to see a couple more goals in that column of his. So kind of a mixed bag so far for the Sharks as far as kind of the new faces on the team right now.
Yeah, I was going to say Bodker has to be the disappointment. He only has 2 points in 19 games. Like, and they're both goals, sure. But the other thing is he's only averaging one shot a game. Like, that to me was kind of the surprising stat. Is it's sure he doesn't have a lot of points, but he's really not generating a lot of chances with only one shot per game.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. You figure out where does he fit? Like, what line, what centerman could he really work with? He started the year with Logan Couture. That was so-so, and then he was moved to the top line with Thornton Pavelski. That didn't go so well. Now he's on the third line with formerly with Tomas Hertl, but now with Chris Tierney, and kind of given that outlook, see right now, see if that helps get his game going. But with Bodker's skill set, he's obviously very fast. He's a bit of a playmaker. He's not really known for being a huge points guy during the course of his career, maybe about 40 or 50 points a season on average. But it's just a matter of kind of finding the right fit, and for him to find a sort of a comfort level within the Sharks system and what these guys are trying to accomplish. So it's definitely taking a little bit longer than they hoped, but I think they feel that his game is getting into the right place, and that he'll eventually, you know, start to produce the way everybody hopes.
Curtis Peschelka joins us from the San Jose Mercury News. Curtis, they just recalled O'Regan, I think, from the minors, played his first game and played over 12 minutes. The Sharks, you know, they just don't have a lot of room in their lineup because they had actually pretty good cap flexibility, despite all their big-name guys. They haven't had to bring in a lot of youngsters, kind of like the Chicago lineup we saw last night. Do you think O'Regan has a chance here to stick, or is he strictly here only for a short term until Hurdle's back?
Well, I think they actually signed O'Regan back to the Barracuda this morning.
Oh, okay, I didn't even see that.
He's a guy that they like. You know, he's a guy that straight out of college had a very good career at BU for 4 years. Got a little bit better each year, and the Sharks drafted him, you know, 4 years ago in 2012. So they look at him as sort of a little bit of a project. He's going to go back to the minors and work on his game. The reason he was kind of called up is because Malcolm Carlson was on the shelf for a little bit, and putting Tomas Hertl on injured reserve kind of freed up a spot. But with Malcolm Carlson able to play, maybe not tomorrow night against the Blackhawks, but maybe over the weekend against either the Ducks or the Islanders, they hope to get him in one of those, get him going in at least one of those two games this weekend, like I said, O'Regan's one of those guys. Kevin LeBanc is up with the team right now. I mentioned Timo Meier earlier. I think they feel pretty good about, you know, what their prospect pool looks like right now. There's not a ton of stars, like I said before, but at the same time, some guys who could project to maybe be, a second line guys going forward here.
Curtis, great stuff, man. Appreciate the rundown. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Anytime.